Stories from Prison, Part 2. It's all new, the smell, the noise, the undertone of violence, the discontent. But these men do want change. They want their lives to be better. They want to make better decisions. They also feel that the system is against them, that no matter how hard they try, there is a dead end. They sometimes have no choice. One guy is proud of the 10 to 15 year gap between his offending, or at least being caught, but he never expected to be in prison again at 45. Many want change. They are determined not to come back, but they are still fighting a system. They are warriors fighting oppression. The guys I see have all been caught in the madness of addiction. There are many classes that they can attend. They can learn about themselves, about addiction, about drugs, about alcohol, about life. They have access to counselling, individual caseworkers, the gym. There are rules in place to help them treat each other with respect. Sir or Miss, and all the prisoners are Mr. last name. As I watch the prison officers walk the floor and unlock the cells, checking his clipboard in case of infringements, and men started to emerge like animals that had been caged, I considered that one day we will look back on this archaic system of locking people up and consider ourselves barbaric. The guys that come to us, to the class, are surly and suspicious. There's been an incident at the weekend resulting in a lockdown of one of the wings. The guys are tense. What are we going to teach them now? We spend a lot of time building rapport. We all introduce ourselves, telling parts of our story that they can relate to. Tracy tells of losing it all, kids, home, respect, of street drinking and hostels, fights and confusion. Many nod. They comment later on how happy they are to have us with them, surprised at the fact that we were let in, that they are used to professionals who don't understand, who have never been where we are. They are people who feel isolated from the world, a world that doesn't understand them and that they don't understand. They are relieved to not having to learn something and remember stuff. On week two, one guy shows up to us instead of NA, Narcotics Anonymous, because he says he needs this class. Sure enough, from the previous week, he is ready to listen. He stops showing off and laps up our words. We discuss their challenges, of which there are many, and the world is against them. They are treated unfairly, and some of them are real. What is it like to have no home? Why is it difficult to have a record and still get a job? But first of all, they are railing, angsty and tense. In every group there's a voice of reason, someone who can see that there is a different perspective. There's another incident at lunchtime resulting in another lockdown on the wing where our classroom is based. We get the guys an hour late. They are agitated and noisy. They want to know how we can change things for them. What can we do? How can we influence? They're not entirely happy with our response. Nothing. But they appreciate the honesty. They're ready for something new. They don't trust me when I say they already know. They already have wisdom. But they get quiet and they start to listen. By the end of the session, they're all sleepy and relaxed. I never feel afraid of my guys. There is a moment once the lockdown ends and the people who've been locked up longer than usual start to bang their cups on the cell bars and rattle their doors, shouting and banging. I feel intimidated and I realise it reminds me of the scary scenes in documentaries about prisons, and that actually right now they're just letting off steam. My nerves settle. Induction scares us half to death. It talks about being taken hostage, of hanging, of stabbing, of gangs and fights. I realise that the staff feel constantly under pressure As the population of inmates grows and the number of operational staff have halved, the dynamics have changed. Once a local prison, it now houses London gang members who don't want to be there, whose families can't visit. With no access to the internet, there is no possibility of Skype or online communication. Many of the staff I meet treat the guys well, and they want them to do well. Yes, they need targets met and they want safety, but they really want to make a difference and be a positive influence. At the start of the day, I wondered how I was going to get through. And when I looked at their beautiful faces, I knew I could see their souls. Wiped out by lunchtime, I didn't see how the afternoon could be done, but it did. And by the end of the day, I felt blessed and I got the chance to do this work. I was so happy at week two when the guys came back. Shortly after unlocking our classroom, a big badass looking guy wants to come in. He's not on the list. I just want to check on the chicks, miss. It turns out that the cooing and squeaking we heard last week is a couple of pigeon chicks nesting right on the windowsill. This big guy is so thrilled to see them. And he tells me how quickly they have grown, how he saw them when they were still in their eggs. He's out in 2 weeks. He thinks he will miss the chicks. The group dynamics reversed. Noisy and lively in the morning, with 2 new members, and uncannily quiet in the afternoon. This time they started to see little lights switching on as they started to have their own insights. They also started to self-monitor, noticing when someone was getting caught up or pointing out if someone hadn't been heard or someone needed help. Sometimes they want you to solve their problem. They want you to get involved. One kicked off about a situation he really could not see how to reverse, an unfair decision on his record. It's just not our job to find the answer. I held the space, and once he had run out of steam and he didn't hear an argument back, his mind cleared a little. I know what I'm going to do. For now, I'm going to go to my groups and partake in what I have to do, and the rest of the time I'm going to stay in my cell and read. I'm going to take some time out. He got no resistance from me. Sounds like your wisdom is helping you find some space. He visibly relaxed. For the rest of the session, he was calmer and he was noticing when he heard his wisdom before. Someone tried to advise Joseph, who described himself as being in the basement. We talked about how people own solutions and they're the ones that have the biggest impact. 3 guys in that group had insights of their own and they were all different. I could feel they were right for them. And even when they meant nothing to me. People know already what they need to do, what is helpful and what is not. And when they're reminded of that, they listen to themselves.